Yeah.
Moweni, Ngumari Gamalam, Ndiyavele e South Africa, Ndinklong Komfazi. I was fortunate to be born and raised in South Africa as apartheid was coming to an end. I studied isiXhosa in high school, a local African dialect, which is also the home language of Nelson Mandela. I was also on the track team, which allowed me the opportunity to train with black students. My nickname was Inyama, meaning meat. They used to cheer me on during a race, shouting, "Baleka Inyama," meaning run meat. The roots of apartheid were enforced when the Dutch and the British colonized South Africa. The British overpowered the Dutch, so the Dutch formed their own colonies here in the Orange Free State and the Transvaal. In 1900, diamonds were discovered in these Dutch colonies, so the British invaded their colonies, sparking off the Boer War. The Dutch won the Boer War largely because the British wore bright red coats in the bush. They were very easy to spot for snipers. So we won our independence from the British power, and the Afrikaner National Party is really the party for Dutch-speaking white South Africans. They won majority in parliament and came up with the idea for Grand Apartheid, which became a law in South Africa starting in the 60s. And for 40 years, Grand Apartheid, meaning the idea of grand separation, was a law in South Africa. The first law was the Bantu Act. Black South Africans were forced to live in what was called black homelands. Here in the Transkei and the Ciskei and the Transvaal and Botswana, the blacks were forced to live. All the whites were allowed to roam free in all the white areas that you see over here. Bear in mind, very important, that the black population at the time in 1978 was 19 million, while there were only 4.5 million whites allowed to roam free. Ek sal liever te wit en arm wees as integreerd en ryk, meaning I would rather be white and poor than integrated and rich, said Hendrik Verwoerd, our prime minister in the 60s. The Criminal Law Act was also established, allowing a low-level police official to enforce fines for going against apartheid law or protesting to the contrary. Fines included being imprisoned for up to 6 months without a trial, whippings, and even death. A striking example of the Criminal Law Act was the Sharpeville Massacre, where 69 people were shot dead, 8 women and 10 children. 185 shots were fired. 155 of these shots entered their bodies from their backs. After this happened, the ANC, the African National Congress, made it clear that they were not going to allow the blacks to enter into this kind of situation again and go unprotected during a protest. Nelson Mandela was president of the ANC and also their military division, which was formed. And he was imprisoned for 26 years for opposing apartheid law. During his trial, he's famous for saying, "Government violence only breeds counter-violence." Now, you would think that apartheid ended in South Africa because of the political pressure that we suffered and because we weren't allowed to trade on the international stock market, that our financial infrastructure would have suffered. But it really didn't. This is not what ended apartheid in South Africa. What ended apartheid is demographics. 80% of our population was black towards the end in the 1980s. So what ended apartheid was that 80% of the population was forced to live in small shanty towns and at the same time still provide domestic work all in the white areas and then be bussed back into their black homelands. So apartheid ended in South Africa in 1994 when Nelson Mandela became our president and we became a democratic society. Last August, I met Sibu Mapungo. He's a lawyer for the South African consulate between the UN and South Africa. We were just having a regular conversation. He's a black man from, actually my hometown's right here in Port Elizabeth, and he said, I asked him, what is the difference, or how did it affect you being black in South Africa growing up? He said he doesn't see skin color. To him, that all people are the same. he says the outward doesn't matter. So I said to him, no, not true, because if I was raped and beaten in the street, it would be headline news. If it happened to you, no one would care. Sibu said to me, no, the white man suffered more because he had to chase us and beat us down, while all we had to do was run and hide. Whereas the white man took that hatred back to his family. So in the end, the white man has more healing to do. Thank you.